All right, so what we've been starting is this idea of why was Elizabeth so excited? Why was Mary so excited when Jesus was coming? Christmas is coming. Why were they so excited? Why did the three wise guys travel so far to see this baby? Why? Well, it was because of the Old Testament, because of these great things that God had promised. So last week, who did we look at? Abraham, okay? And what did God say he was going to do with Abraham? Okay, great nation, lots of kids. Now, is Abraham this perfect person? No. Okay? We read a little bit about him, and it was like, oh, he was kind of a coward. And he was kind of a liar. And wow, he didn't have this great faith. Okay, but God still used him. God protected him, and God was faithful. Eventually, we know that because Jesus comes. And he's doing that. So now we're going to look at a little bit about John and why was he so excited. So if you can do John chapter 1, we'll start there. Oh, and if you want to get ahead of the game, in 2 weeks, we're going to talk about Ruth. So you can read, it's a small little book, okay? So you can do a chapter easily in a few days. Oh, you can read the whole book in probably 10 minutes, okay? So if you're eager beavers, you can do that. So in verse 19, it's talking about John the Baptist. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? All right? All these people are coming out to you. You're giving these big prophet kind of speeches. You're baptizing. Who are you? Okay? And this is all their guesses. He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. I'm not the guy who the Old Testament is going to be fulfilled with. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you a prophet? And he answered, no. So they said, well, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. Excuse me. What do you say about yourself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. As the prophet Isaiah said, now then they had been sent by the Pharisees. They asked him, then why are you baptizing if you are neither Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. Even he who comes after me, the strap of the sandal I am not worthy to untie. The things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Okay? Has the cross happened yet? Okay. So, where is John getting this stuff? Why can John see Jesus walking down the road and say, that's the Lamb of God. This is the Son of God, as you read on later. I am not worthy. He is greater than me. He's going to baptize you with fire, and I'm just doing water for repentance of sin. So once again, as we get excited about Christmas coming, why are we so excited? Well, we know the whole story. Okay, we know the cross and the resurrection and all that. But why were they so excited? Well, they had these prophecies in the Old Testament. That's why they were excited. And John knew somehow that Jesus was the Lamb of God, and he was going to take away the sins of the world. So a couple years ago, we talked about Exodus, and what was the Lamb about in Exodus? Do we remember? What was significant about the Lamb in the plagues? Okay, what did they put over their doorposts? The blood of the Lamb. So what happened? Were they protected?
Yep.
Yeah, so somehow you start to see these pieces go together. Okay, then and you'll read in Leviticus all about the different sacrifices. And, you know, there's the lamb and the ox and the love offerings and the guilt offerings and all that kind of stuff. And what was building up in them is, wow, there's going to be someone at some time, this Christ, this figure coming. And that's why everyone was excited. Okay? Now, obviously, there's a lot of different perspectives, and they killed him because they didn't want him to be who he said he was going to be. But John knew. John knew who he truly was because he knew his Old Testament scriptures, and he believed in them. So let's jump back to Isaiah 53. So Isaiah 53 in verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we are like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. As for his generation, who considered that he was cut off from the land from the living, stricken for the transgression of the people, and they made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. So you're starting to see this picture of Jesus in the Old Testament. Did you see Jesus in those verses? What did you see in those verses? What sounded like Jesus to you? He died. Okay. Whose transgressions? Ours. Okay, was he the guilty one?
No.
No. So you start seeing this picture of who this Christ figure was supposed to be. And John is saying, here is the Lamb of God. Just like Isaiah is saying, like the lamb before the slaughter. He is going to be beaten, but there was no violence in him. He did not deserve this. And that is what they were starting to get excited about. So for us, what are we excited about? Presents? That's what my kids are excited about. No school? That's what they're excited about. So what are we excited about? Do we still have that same excitement when we think about Jesus? Or is that, oh, it's another day, another holiday. Oh my, got to get out the Christmas tree. Got to hang the decorations. And we miss it, right? We miss the reason for the season. But John knew something. He didn't know how it was all going to play out, but he knew. What are we going to talk about? What are we going to tell people in the future? What are you going to tell your kids about Christmas? Is it going to be, give me your Christmas list because grandma's calling and I need to, let's pick out your cool little PJs, or is it really about Jesus? So I didn't appreciate it, but my grandpa, we would go over to his house, and he'd call me in his back room, and he'd, sit down. He was a hanky man, so he had his little hanky out there, and he would talk about this passage. He would talk about Jesus and taking away our transgressions. And that we didn't have to bear it, that he took it, and we would have eternal life. And he would try to communicate this. It's just one of those random things I remember as a kid. Is always going to his house. He wouldn't always use this, but at least 10 times he would bring me in the little back room, and he would try to communicate this truth. And he used the Old Testament to tell me about Jesus. That, hey, God sent him to be our sacrifice, to be our replacement, to take our transgressions. That this was the good news. And what do we want to proclaim to the world? Okay, what did we learn last week about righteousness from Abraham? Do we remember? What was the righteousness verse? Because of his faith, he was righteous. Okay? It's the same story from beginning to end. And that's the good news. Is wow, we were messed up. We are messed up. We are going to mess up. Our friends and family are going to mess up. The people we idolize are going to mess up. But just like John, we should be able to say, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Just like my grandpa used to try with his little hanky to say, oh, you know, we have transgressions and we need a Savior. We need the Lamb of God to come and he will take all our iniquity. He took our punishment so that we could have eternal life, that we can go to heaven, that we can have a relationship with God. That's the good news, and that's what Christmas is really about. That God sent his only son. That Jesus came to say, yes, I am willing to be the Lamb. I am willing to take your transgressions and your sacrifices because he loves us. And that needs to be what Christmas is all about. Because John, in a few chapters, he gets thrown into prison and eventually gets beheaded. And he sends his little people out and says, Jesus, are you the one? Because he doubts. Okay? When your life's on the line, you think a little differently. It's like, am I really going to die for the truth? He knew the truth. He lived the truth. The reason he was in prison is because he proclaimed the truth. And Jesus sent back an Old Testament quote. He says, the blind are seeing, the lame are walking. All those things you have trusted in your whole life, they're becoming true. I am fulfilling them. And yes, you are in the worst place possible. He dies soon after. But Jesus brings him back to the Old Testament. And he says, remember those things and look around in what is happening. And that's why they were excited. That's why those guys traveled so far. That's why they bowed before him. That's why those shepherds were visited by the angels. That's why we can sing joy to the world. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So that's what we want to do. So in a couple weeks, I'm talking about Ruth. We have a guest speaker. Greg is coming back. We talked about relationships and how God is relational and looking at the Bible through that relational context. But we're going to have Jamie.